I don't know what you say about playing roads. You might be a real fluent baby talking about it. Well, I just picked out the area which I was born and raised in the Patton Valley, and there is already a report on this and on cherry growth. This action is something that just touching on a few things of worth there, saying like a little bit about the early logging and time those that came in. But anyway, to sort of get the thing right perspective, maybe I should start with the Indians. Well, I happen to know about the Indians there. There is really not too much known about the Squatty Indians, except they were a part of the tribe of the Calpulis. They were a rather simple, peace-loving people that lived in that valley that just happened to be abounding with plenty of food, nuts, berries, fowl, fish, whatever. There they lived quite peacefully until the television atmosphere in the career that day. Pretty warlike. And as kids right from the school I went to, because school district 66, kids would prowl around there quite a bit. We used to find numerous of these little tiny arrowheads. We always called them bird arrows. I don't know if that's what they were. It seemed like they were around that lake more than down anywhere else. So I kind of assumed that they were a lake there. There was also the Indian graveyard that started at what would be Conference Crossing or the Mount Richmond Road. Off up over the hill into Anvil County. Well, that rock outcropping there happened to be some Indian carvings, though somebody had been there. But an archaeologist said that the three figureheads that were there was a religious symbol. And the hand which carved the other spot was a pointing to the graveyard. And there were a series of little vertical marks. His interpretation was that he was a comet of some sort. And this graveyard then started running on the southeast along that slope of the valley out toward Gaston or Scotland Street, and this seemed to be mostly all graveyards that are down through there. And as a kid, when I was going to school, we outside picking up the arrows, you'd find a little indentation deep down the way down this Indian. He didn't care anymore, did he? Oh, darn, what we don't do anyway. Finally, he didn't do very stuff, lessons. But we didn't do anything. Anyway.
You mean found bones?
Yeah, bones, artifacts, trinkets, skull.
There must be many of them there yet.
During any road construction, they're always digging the highway, part of the actual skulls, larger. And quite often a trinket or whatever it may be. I don't know what happened to the Indians. Anyway, a real early settler on the fighting Floyd Mountain Man. And the Indians moved out and said that the chief told him, no hunt, no food, no fish. Move far away. And I had heard that they probably went down around Yahas, but uh, I Mary Kurtz, I believe, knows more about Virginians than anyone I know of. And also, there's a little way down by the school, and there's this strip still there. It was quite its own private property out there.
Where was this located in Cherry Grove?
Pardon?
Where was this located in Cherry Grove?
It was located in Cherry Grove. It was located about midway in between Gaston and Cherry Grove in the valley.
On the north or south side?
It would be on the east side, northeast side. I have a map that I can show you from later on.
Okay.
Where it's located. Anyway, then came the white man, and very earliest, as everywhere out there, as the earliest white man came and settled. They seemed to have located their roads high, and they also settled high. And I've heard it discussed quite a bit, but I didn't come with more protection from the Indians. But I've also heard, and I kind of tend to agree, that they were knew nothing of the country here. And they were so afraid of the flood, they went through the flash floods and whatnot, came across the plains, and they were afraid of the flood. That's why they located their residences, and one of the reasons, high on the mountain, up in the valley there, where I was born, there was a road that went on the south side, here up to the Cherry Grove and farther. But way back up in the pasture, there's still outcropping. You see, if you know where to look, where you can still see the remnants of that road up and out over there. And I don't know if anyone ever discusses what the history is and when the road was built. But anyway, after a while, it was relocated down closer to the where they are now. It's in the same location, except for the line of the pasture, and they straightened it out when they relocated. There are several donation land claims, plus many outright purchases, trades, and first donation land claims were Donald McLeod, Christian Bridge Farmer, John Kane, Darling Smith, Allison Hinton, Homestead Pines, Manuel Horner, John Garish. The Manuel Horner is where the city of Cherry Grove, rather than Manuel Horner donation land claim is where Cherry Grove is located now. It's on that old claim. And then John Garrish is the old surface smaller farms on the south on the road. And then Tom Hines sold to the Pattons. He had almost two large duration land claims there. But anyway, he sold to the Pattons, to whom the valley and then was named after the Pattons. And Allison Inman, donation land claim, is now that the large farm that you probably know is known in Mohawk, as far as the dairy. And then Darling Smith, which is Tom Hines, actually I didn't tell you, that happens to be Dave Hines' great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. And then we get down to Darling Smith, that's another one of my grandfathers, the one down the valley, is there, close to this Allen's opinion. And that's all, it was all broke up into the heirs and the signs. The original home is no longer exists. And then the bridge farm was sold to Tom Seth, and that's where the old Seth school was on that particular property. And by the time of the turn of the century, it was no longer necessary to ford the streams. Bridges were built on major roads. Milk routes were established And each morning and night, the ringing of cowbells can be heard from all directions. Each farm had their milk stand. At the road, the farms were all fenced with rail fences, mostly the common rail fences they referred to as the worm rail. Chickens paid, of course, had to be quacked at the side. Then the chuckle of wagons, buggies, axe, and flop of horses' hoofs, all the added to this quiet country. Except in winter, then it became belly deep to the horse and up deep to the wagon. Then the sawmills began to become more frequent and more in number. Therefore, it became necessary to have winter roads, especially when the type of logging was changing from the floating or driving down the river in the winter when the water was high. And the yarding or pulling logs was done by oxen. And the sawmill began to take over and do the cutting on the site, which made it necessary to build the winter roads. Naturally, these were planked, and the mill, while sawing railroad ties, timbers, or such, the side cutting used for planks for the roads, 8 foot wide, not flat road, or nice smooth. The wagons were heavy, of course, and loading the wheels were narrow and hard, and they broke through occasionally. Or quite often, in fact. And of course, on these roads, going to school to and from travel by foot was quite common. And the planks would sink into the water, and the water would become filled on the lower side. You would step on one of these planks, and the water would sweep up and give you a bath of running water. And then someone would walk along the side, and you could step on one and fly it and trip in. And then, probably went back to the mills. They brought their own community with them, due to natural communication. They would build their mill shacks and family would live in. In some cases, they built their churches and schools too in these. Also, the buildings were built roughly as they were temporary. The mill would be powered by a steam traction engine or small horizontal, maybe even though it wasn't a traction engine, it was similar to the field truck, you would have been pulled in by two horses or more than one. And of course, it would be fired by the waste material from the logs, which is slabs, edgings, or something. The logging was done by horses and that pulled to the mill by the skid roads. From the higher elevations by means of a chute. If the mill was lower, many times built a large chute, and these were yarded into the area on the site, and there were a whole bunch of them pushed over at once and they were shot down. Otherwise, they had the skid road, which was logged about actually 6 foot wide, hollowed out flatly in the middle. Then the logs were pulled up these, over these. They were placed, I'd say, all from 3 to 4 foot apart, right here. Mm-hmm. And then the common, generally, younger boy or something, skin reacher, walked along with the skin reacher, swabbing these grooves to make the logging a little bit more. But it still took quite a few people there. Fallers, buckers, as they are now, swampers, and peelers, snipers. The large logs had to be sniped off the front to give them like kind of a runner, sled runner effect, but they could be pulled in easier. And also, if they were too large, they had to be barked on one side. That was called the ride. And it took a quite accomplished woodsman to walk up to a log and see which side that log would start to be pulled to the right. And that would be the side that they peeled. And of course, this was all done by Parsons, many ways, dog, lust, and want. At occasion, someone would try a donkey engine for yarding logs. This is known as called ground logging, before the high lead, of course. The machine was a small one, probably a one drum or one winch, and a horse called the Lion Horse would be employed to pull the line back out for the log group. I hope it was not looking for the log engine. But never was continued. Even lack of knowledge of power logging or the economy or whatever, for the most part, was unsuccessful in the horse to be predominant. Some of the mills located in Patton Valley were located in, of course, in various places. The ones I'm going to mention here are not in sequence. They're as it came to mind. There's a Cogan's Mill, and that was located on the, which is now in the Fawn Place. And it must have been about 1917. Then there's Frank Maitland. Incidentally, Maitland's had several mills through here. I think all of you knew who Maitland, Frank Maitland was. I'll tell you, you remember, all of us know Artney out here watching the lights off. It was his father. And he had several meals, small mills. This Frank Maitland, he was the first I know of. He was located on was Mount Richmond Road, all the way up to the top. And in fact, he had two, and then he moved the location not too much farther from there. This would have been about 1917 and 18. And also, it's when a lot of ship knees were cut in there. I don't know how to explain what a ship knee was. Do you remember what they were?
They were made to take the place of
Yes.
Cut out the log.
Yeah, they were cut out of the stump.
They cut it out of the stump and they cut them off of the square right. And stick in there and put the deck on.
Yeah, they took part, actually the stump out of the ground. As the roots, you know, go out of the stump, you take part of the stump, cut that, then incorporated the root with it, which made an angle. Big, those were huge, big, heavy. And they would fit into the ship's corners.
And they were taller. Make that a business. I heard
yeah.
That saw boy up there, but that was what they did with the next week's mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were all sizes. That was a kid and all the roads they were playing on the yard on the dump there. Sorry what they done with them from there on. How they got them out, I don't know, or done with them happening. They were quite demanded during the war. And then of course, all these things was necessary for the bike roads. And then Frank Maitland also located earlier, about a half a mile farther south from Mount Richmond. This would be about 1960. I don't remember too clearly. Frank Halleck was another one operated at several of his mills, which I go on, you'll hear me mention. He located in Mercer Canyon. That would have been, well, this mill, let me tell you, it's not far. It's all within that valley, within actually 4 or 5 mile radius of each other, all these mills. And then John Nylund came into the picture. His nephew was the Carlos Johnson. He also came in later to a little bit different location into the Mercer Canyon. Then there were two of his mills in Williams County, I believe both people, if I remember right, and John, also located in another one in that place around 1924, a little larger, no, it's a little bit longer. And then there was the Lee Mill on Lee Road, that was on the road north of the Costa Valley, just before you get to Cherry Grove. And there was the one on Fred Robinson's place, I really don't know whose mill that was. It could have been Maitland, but Maitland lived there at the time. And this was where the oldest boy, or Art Maitland's boy, was killed. That mill was there. And Island, also, one of them, became one that came in later, was definitely Island. I remember that. That was about 1925 or 6. A little interesting thing, kind of connected with that. While the Browns still lived on the, what is now the Mulholland Place, they had a hired man who was Italian. And he had to have a tie and one on once in a while. He was kind of an eccentric, a different person. Anyway, he came in this one night. He'd always made the statement that God had made his cross too heavy to bear. Didn't want to sit around and assume he could shuffle off the mortal coil the better he liked it. So this one time he came in the evening and had one tied on. They saw he had several sticks of dynamite in his pocket and offered him the other one. So they stayed up waiting, making him mumble and praying and whatnot. Quite late at night, he came over and got my dad to go over. Got a little bit with him, but anyway, he went on and he stayed away, and they didn't interfere with the guy. He was kind of crazy with him. So about 4 o'clock in the morning, he left, and so they felt he was going to commit suicide. They didn't really know for sure, so they followed what they thought was safe distance and finally lost him. And we drove across the valley and up around in near this crossing place. Then they heard the blast go off. And it was foggy all the morning, just about dawn at that time. Foggy morning, and they just couldn't detect any smoke, any thing, and they finally gave it up. So that this mill said that on the Fred Robinson place, when they pulled the log out, they recovered the bones. Skull was cracked, not bad. But it didn't work for me.
What did they know? Was it old? It wasn't old girls.
Oh, yeah.
It was all still old girls. I mean, it was old.
It was all short log. In fact, this Carl Knapp telling me he and my dad had a contest at the time. They were behind logs in the mill. So Matt was doing the bucking, and he said, "Oh, my dad said, well, I'll catch you." And he said, I cut 100 logs that day. That's a lot of bucking.
Oh,
and he kept the mill going. And there was another at the Thompson place that had come on down. In fact, this is number 11, I guess I've got on to now that I know. Callahan was at the railroad siding down close to his place. And Carl Herring was quite an early one. Carl came to the United States from Germany around 1890 and he was a professional brick mason, but he didn't pursue this. He worked in a restaurant paved passage. And then he brought the Griever place, which none of you know about. I can show it on the map, but if you're not familiar with it, you wouldn't know. And he bought that around 1900, and he married this German girl, Brown, 1912. Then he also paid for three of his brothers' packages from Germany to here. That was Louis, Alvin, and Emil. Emil was drowned. He also had a mill. south side of the place, on the place, Callahan had several of them. And the, all the mills, most of them anyway, all brought their ties and whatever to the sightings of the map here I have here, it's about all I have to say, but anyway, if you gather around this and take a look at this, I haven't been about it.